Between the Barrels, where every rider has a story. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Between the Barrels. I'm your host, Madeline Green, and I hope you enjoyed last week's interview with Leslie. Last week, I was stuffy. This week, I have pneumonia. So again, please bear with my Kermit the Frog voice, if you will. This week, I got to catch up with Jody Miller. She has been trying her hand at rodeos and is 15th in the world standings right now. So not too shabby so far this season. Take a listen. Hey, Jody, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So I know that you have been rodeoing quite a bit and you just did good at Rodeo Austin. You're actually 15th right now in the standings. Kind of tell us about how rodeo has been going for you so far this season.
Well, I just sometimes try to dabble in the rodeos a little bit, take my older horses, kind of see how they'll do. I randomly kind of decided to go to the Uvalde qualifier. I guess that was January at some point. And that's kind of what kickstarted it all. I had no idea my horse was going to do so well, but he went out there and he got better every run, and we ended up coming back to San Antonio. We went third at Uvalde, and so that started San Antonio, and then San Antonio went great. We ended up making the semifinals from our bracket. We hit in the semifinals and then won the wild card, and then he hit in the short round or the finals to win second. So it was a shock of how good he did, but because of the Uvalde winnings, we got into Austin, which was kind of cool. I was like, well, might as well just go. I mean, it's pretty nice rodeo, and it's not far from home. So, and obviously, he performed well at San Antonio, so I was, like, excited. And we won the first round at Austin. I had a lot of luck on my side. That third girl, you know, really almost went down, but we kind of had some luck. And it was really hard in that arena to get around that third girl. And he does not ever short me. He's very, very honest. But for some reason in that arena, that third girl just was a tough one for us. In the second round, you know, the third girl did not get better. It got kind of worse.
Right.
And we just had a cold moment, like amateur jockey, amateur horse in the rodeos. Like, we finally had a moment where we were like, okay, we made a mistake. And thankfully, my horse is fast, and he still made up for it. Everyone in the last set hit for me to make the finals in the eighth spot. And so we made the finals, and kind of I just worked really hard on getting him soft and getting him in the hole and just getting all the way in there to that third barrel. And he ended up running the fastest time of the finals and finishing third in the average.
That's awesome. So, you know, being 15th right now, are you still going to keep going and maybe try and make it to Vegas?
I mean, as long as I can go to these big rodeos and do well and continue to stay up in the standings, I think it's a great opportunity. You know, I'm going to go to San Angelo, and that's kind of the last big indoor rodeo of the year. And then I'm just going to kind of make my way outside and see if he likes it. I really have no idea. Very, very new to this. I've rodeoed some. I always like to go out in, you know, June and July some, go to some maturities, just enjoy the better weather. So I am familiar with being out west, but I really have no idea. Just as well as I had no idea he was going to do so well in the buildings, I here again am in the same spot. I have no idea how outside is going to go. So we're just kind of along for the ride and just going to keep going while the iron's hot.
Yeah, for sure. So kind of tell us the Jody Miller barrel racing story.
Well, my sister got into it with my parents, and so I was just kind of like born into it. We did a lot of the NBHA stuff, and my sister, when she turned 18, did a bunch of the rookie stuff, and I kind of like followed around. We're 10 years apart. I wasn't, you know, doing much when she was rodeoing and stuff, but I did a lot of the NBHA stuff.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I just loved horses, so, and she kind of taught me everything, and I just, she loved to rodeo and do all that, and I just followed right in her footsteps, and I loved it too. And so I grew up like high school rodeo, and then, you know, when I turned 18, I got my pro card, and we went and rodeoed, and thankfully, like I said, my sister was kind of there and just kind of guided me through the rodeos and doing it all. And I fell in love with the futurities about, I was probably 21, so I rodeoed for about 3 or 4 years, and then we bought a stallion. Well, my sister did. Really, I had nothing to do with it. I thought she was crazy in that world. But she bought a stallion. Lee and Hallie Hansen helped her find a stallion, Prince Street to Vegas. And like I said, I told her she was crazy. I was like, why do you want to, you know, you can't even, you know, you need horses we can go rodeo on. And he's not, that's a lot of money for that, you know. And she was like, it's a good investment. So then we kind of met Lee and Hallie and Jordan Briggs and a lot of fraternity trainers and kind of like started to dabble in that world. Almost just to like further the, like my sister always wanted to rodeo, but like start with a good base and then, you know, rodeo versus like buying the older horses.
Right.
That was kind of, she kind of had that mindset change where she wanted to buy them young and do it that way. Well, sure enough, I fell in love with that part of it. I loved the training. I never thought I would be a trainer. I always thought I liked the rodeos, and I had a horse. She's 8 this year, so I mean, it's probably 5 years ago. I got our first French Streak to Vegas. Her name's JL Fabian Vegas, and she was our oldest streak baby, and I trained her. I won, you know, her first maturity. We placed at the BFA, and I kind of fell in love with it. After that, I was dead set. Just changed my whole perspective on what I wanted to do. So here we are, a long later, and that opportunity has presented itself to rodeo again. So my horse is by French Street to Vegas. So it definitely comes full circle on where you were meant to be at in your life.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. And unfortunately, you know, he's no longer with us, but isn't it pretty amazing that, you know, like with technology and that whole process, that you guys are still able to kind of continue his legacy and continue the breeding?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We're blessed with having Frozen on him and getting to be able to continue to breed to him. I mean, our goal is eventually to raise a junior stallion out of him. That would be really nice to find something that, you know, has the same qualities that he has, that, you know, because the Frozen's not going to go forever. So we've kind of handpicked some select few mares that we believe in to kind of see where it goes. But all in all, I mean, he blessed us with the time that he did, and we just have to be grateful for that. Like I said, yeah, we get to breed a mares of our own for a few more years and continue to ride them, which is great.
What about him do you feel like rolled over into his offspring and made him, you know, create so many horses that have been successful?
You know, I think they're just really willing. I mean, that's just the best way I can say about all of them, is they're versatile. A lot of them rope. I train mine on the poles. Like, I think that they're very willing horses. And what I kind of see a lot of is they adapt to a lot of different styles. I ride more of like a square style. I ride in like a lot of hackamores and combos, and they fit me phenomenal. But on the other hand, I see a lot of people that ride very differently that can still be successful on them. And I think it's really just boils down to the pure athleticism and the willingness. And I think that a horse that loves what they do and wants to do it, and you know, having the athletic ability is just icing on the cake. But I really think that most of them just have a good heart about it.
You kind of talked about training a little bit. Take us through your training process and what kind of works for you.
Well, I mean, I'm still pretty young and new at this. I mean, we never really know exactly what we're doing, and I'm definitely not a veteran yet. But I like to, you know, kind of take my time, and usually, like, I don't start riding my colts till they're 3. I usually don't, like from the colt breaker. So, like, they go to the colt breaker at 2.
Right.
And then I'll kind of dabble with them at the end of their 2-year-old year and kind of just play with them. But I typically kind of take my time. And I like to, their whole 3-year-old year, I kind of just like to make it fun. And, you know, I'll kind of put the pressure on them a little bit and kind of see what they're made of. But at the end of the day, I really just like to take it easy on them and make sure that they don't get burnt out, just because they have to want to do it, you know, they have to enjoy it as much as we do. So I've kind of leaned towards the 5-year-old, like running them as 5-year-olds, and that allows me to spend their 4-year-old year, you know, kind of adding speed and putting the pressure on them.
Right.
And I mean, I've ran a lot of 4-year-olds. I've been successful, but I think the thing that I've learned is it usually takes me a little while to get them winning. So I've kind of started to maybe like hold them, and that way I can start winning earlier on. So, and I just think it helps get them mentally ready and physically. You can kind of learn some things about them, because I mean they all have their ailments, and you need to know that and be able to have the time to really assess your horse without having to go to the futurity, you know, once a month or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, it gives them a little more time to mature.
Exactly.
So jumping into the competition side of things, how do you feel like you handle the physical and mental demands of competing at a higher level?
I think the biggest thing that I've kind of had to learn to do, it may sound silly, but you kind of just have to like block everything out and worry about your horse and you and your horse. And I mean, I think that I have gotten better about that, like not letting things get to me and just kind of like, you know, the rodeos have been a little different for me because I'm not used to being in that sort of environment. There's a lot of adrenaline, a lot more, you know, to get amped up about in
right.
a situation. And I think that I've just been really working on focusing, like, it's this, you know, it's the same three barrels, no matter if they're at home, no matter where they're at. If, you know, if I expect my horse to show up and act the same, then I better do the same thing. You know, I don't need to choke up and get nervous. Like, he relies on me. And no, I'm not perfect, and I don't expect neither one, you know, to be perfect. But it really helps when you have a horse you can really rely on.
For sure.
Really have a good foundation with. I think it's really hard to keep your composure, you know, on horses that are more sensitive or more reactive. I feel like Fuego has a great demeanor about him, and he makes me feel like, you know, we're unstoppable. You know, even in the futurity world, a lot of times you'll notice that when a trainer is having a good year or has a good horse, there's usually a lot more, like it usually goes, like it just kind of rolls. Like you don't just, like it's just the one good horse can really, you know, boost your self-esteem and make you feel good about yourself. And then you ooze that to your other colts and your other horses. And it just kind of like, you know, so if you don't have that, you have to mentally stay strong.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't have that. Sometimes we don't have those horses. Sometimes we need to be better in order to have those horses. So you just kind of have to stay, you have to stay mentally tough, stay hooked, and it's so easy to get down and like, you know, especially the rodeo.
Oh, yeah.
Drive home and you only get one run. I'm like, okay. Like, I mean, I had one bad run and I was like really just trying to stay like, you know, I've been to two rodeos, you know, my horses, they're like, you need to calm down. And I wasn't upset. Like, I wasn't throwing a temper tantrum or anything, but I was just like, man, I just missed a big opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't upset with my horse or like really myself. I was just kind of like bummed that I missed that opportunity. But you had to like think like, I mean, gosh, we're only human. They're only horses. Like, I mean, it's going to happen, and we have to just learn from it. We can't pretend it didn't happen. We have to, you know, like, I'm a firm believer that I don't even know if I would have ran that two in the Austin finals if I wouldn't have messed up my second round.
Right.
You know, I was bound and determined to make up for that.
Yeah. What do you feel like sets apart the top jockeys in the industry from the rest of the field?
I mean, I think obviously experience and opportunities. You know, there's a lot of things that can be said for time on the back of a horse, you know,
right.
just the time you put in and the work you put in. You can't rush that. Like, you can't rush the fact that you want to be, you know, I want to be where Cassie Mallory's at, but I can't rush the fact of the hours of work that she's put in and the time and everything that she's put into this. The only thing I can do is strive for that. I can't, you know. So I think that's the biggest thing that you have to do is keep at it. I mean, if you don't think that those girls in the top have ever had bad months, years, I mean, we've all had bad times. I think that the best of the best stick with it and come out better for it.
Definitely a good perspective. And since you are kind of younger in the futurity industry, what advice would you give someone who is kind of maybe wanting to break into that world?
I mean, I think the best thing you can do is really find somebody to help you. I know, like, I mean, working for somebody or getting the opportunity to intern, I think that, you know, I've had a lot of help from a lot of fraternity trainers, some that I rode with all the time, and some just, hey, watch my video and what do you think, or some just I listened to talk and said stuff that inspired me, or, you know, all different kinds of things. But I definitely think that, like, using your peers and opportunities to get in any way you can. I mean, there's never gonna be where you don't have to put your, you know, your whole life into it. And the best thing, I mean, when you're, you know, young and eager, you can just kind of put your whole life into it. You got to put it all in there, and you got to try, and you got to, you know, be able to go with the flow. But I mean, I think I just have to say that learning from people and trying to get a different, because nobody knows what their style is.
Right.
Learning and develop your own style. You have to nurture you as a rider. I've rode behind a lot of people, and I've rode with a lot of people, and there's some people that I think that I learned more from. Like, I ride more like this one person, but I've also learned a lot from a lot of different people. And a lot, like, I'm not going to go to somebody, you know, I'm having problems with this one horse or something like that. I don't have to get help from somebody that rides that same style of horse. And you don't know also too what somebody else is going to come off of. Like you may understand something a lot better from another perspective, even if it's, you know, somebody that you ride just like, you know, and you worship. You may need to go off and find and get a different perspective and kind of come back. So I see a lot of people that are kind of just closed minded.
Uh-huh.
And it's not in a negative way, and they don't mean to be. I just think that I try to learn from everybody that will allow me to. Whether I get to execute that or not, you know, it's something that, and then maybe a year later before I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember when so-and-so said this, and now this makes sense. Like, it doesn't just click, you know? Sometimes you just, it's time and always being open-minded.
You could definitely never learn too much in the industry.
Exactly. We never stop learning. I mean, I like to think that I'll continue to learn. I mean, I think as age sets in, you probably get lazier about learning.
But right.
I hope that I can stay aware of that and stay sharp and always learn, because the horses are always changing. The industry is always changing. I mean, it's just so cutthroat now. I mean, you can't afford to be doing what we do and not trying to be better. I want to continue to be better.
Talk about maybe the differences between rodeo and fraternities, since you've dabbled in both of them.
It's hard. They're very, very, very different. And it's kind of, I'm so used to the fraternities, so I don't want to, like, bash on the rodeos, because I'm honestly not familiar.
Yeah.
With, like, you know, the real side of rodeo. I usually do it for fun, so that's a lot different. Rodeos are really hard for me. And I think the biggest thing about it is the one horse thing.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that's the biggest adjustment. And now I might have a different tune after the summer, because, you know, I don't really know. There's going to be more fast paced and more, like, going. But I am having a little bit of a hard time with, you know, running of one horse and the sitting around a lot. So I ride. I have like 25 horses or so in training.
Right.
And I ride like a minimum of 10 or so a day. And then when I go to a fraternity, typically there's about, I have a 7-horse trailer, and I usually always go with 7. And it's usually like we have 5 in the fraternity, 3 in the derby, or whatever the numbers are. And we're just kind of like, and then we, you know, I hang out with my friends and we have a good time for the evening, do our chores and all that stuff. So, and then we go home, you know, we're there for 3 days or a week sometimes, and then we go home. So it's just that the atmosphere about it is what is probably the biggest difference. And like when I was up at San Antonio, you know, we stayed there 3 days. Like I ran twice in one day. And like, I was like, every time I got on Fuego, he's like, I'm sorry, buddy, we got to ride again.
Right.
You know, and like, I am a trainer, so I'm always in tuning mode. I feel like I'm going to have to be careful. I'm like picking on him too much because, like, you know, if he's the only horse I'm riding, you know, I want to train. That's what I do. So that's why I'm like, I think that's going to be the hardest adjustment for me is not, and the exhibitioning and the preparation is just, you feel a lot more prepared for success at right. a futurity.
Yeah.
And I think at the rodeos, they kind of just like make you just like, okay, here's, you know, you don't get to get in the, which I, like I said, I don't have a whole lot of experience. I only have a couple of rodeos, but like, we don't get to go in the arena. Those are hard arenas and you're telling me I can't even lope circles in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I just like, it's just something that's hard for me. Cause I'm like, I just want to lope a circle up against the wall. Like I don't even need the barrels, but we're not even allowed in the arenas and the warmups are terrible. Like I got to prepare where I can work the barrels before, you know, cause I can't work them at the rodeo.
So yeah, it's a whole different ball game for sure.
It's so different, and I'm sure like people that are used to it, it's, you know, it is what it is. But I'm trying to be the most successful I can be in ways that I'm not used to.
So yeah,
it's just a learning curve how to be successful in a new environment.
Right, and you talked about, you know, learning from other people. Who are some of those influences that you look up to or kind of go to for advice?
Oh, well, my sister, I mean, she's obviously the number one as far as like, she's got me into all this. And so I hold her responsible for all my needs. So, I mean, she's definitely the main one that gets a lot of my questions and a lot of my talk. Ashley Schaefer, she's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
And she's super easy to talk to, and she'll ride anything I make her ride, or, you know, we'll talk on the phone forever. So I mean, she's great. Ryan Padone helped me super a lot when I was like first getting started, you know, when I won Fort Smith and everything. She was like a huge influence, and I still ride a lot. I still have I ride a lot of the same bits that she does. Like, we have a very similar style. So she really helped develop me a lot. I rode with Jordan Briggs, but like, she was when I started transitioning between the rodeos, the futurities. She kind of is the one that was there when I fell in love with the futurities. So she definitely helped me a lot, especially getting me started. He broke my first futurity horse, and like, so they were a big part of that. And there's a lot of people, you know, Jolie Montgomery, she's one of my good friends. Her and Molly are great. You know, just be it. And the more I get into it, the more people I get to where I can call. And kind of just, if I'm having something that I, you know, think about that I, you know, oh, I saw so-and-so do this, I'm going to go ask, you know. So the more you get into it, the more kind of connections you get. But there's definitely a lot of people in this industry that are willing to help and help you be successful and kind of get your breakthrough. What do they say? Foot in the door. Get your foot in the door. There you go.
Yeah, definitely a good group that you have kind of in your back pocket.
Oh yeah. No, I said, like, I mean, there's some great people that were really big influences, and then they helped me get to other people. So it all goes hand in hand. But and we all go through, you know, like phases of, you know, what we're trying to learn. And sometimes like, you trying to learn can, you know, slow your progress of winning. And I did have to learn that. Like, I took a lot of time to kind of try some different things and learn some new things. And I did kind of see that I didn't win as much.
Right.
For a little bit of a time. And so, but I think that my riding and my horses were better for it. I just had to take a pause and not worry about winning as much as worry about, you know, my riding and where I wanted to be and stuff like that. So sometimes that's really hard because everybody wants to win. I mean, we didn't show up here to try new things, but sometimes that's what you have to do in order to stay relevant.
And I kind of like to round it out with these next few questions. What do you feel like was your greatest accomplishment in 2023?
You're asking a lot of my memory.
You're young. You should have good memory.
2023, Fort Smith's always good to me. I've had a lot of success there. I'm trying to think of what futurity horses I had last year. And so I think, you know, I did good at some of those. And we got to go. I had a mare named Million Dollar Streaker. Her name is Paisley. I recently just sold her. But I won a lot on her. I had a lot of fun on her. We did, we did some cool things. I can't really specifically think of right at the moment.
Yeah.
But either way, she was a great mare. We did actually go to like some fun rodeos with her, and she did really good. She was a Derby horse, and I didn't train her, so we were, you know, ecstatic about her doing so well last year. And then Fuego was kind of coming on, and then I had a streak of Fling Fraternity horse that won. I placed good at Fort Smith and Royal Crown and all those stuff. So, I mean, as in all, it was a good year. It wasn't my best year, but it was. I had a lot of fun, and I think that's also what is been a great start to 2024. Is a lot of things that transpired in 2023. So I like to look at it that way too.
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, thinking about your career as a whole, what win has kind of meant the most to you?
Well, I mean, definitely. I'm not sure anything's ever going to top Fort Smith.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of a big one. I won the Fraternity and the Derby, and they were both horses my sister and I raised.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so, and one, the my Fraternity horse that won it that year, Smash, he's out of a mare that my sister bought. I was young, and she bought from a good friend of ours, Kay Kroll, and that mare carried my sister to a lot of wins, carried me to a lot of wins in high school, passed away actually giving birth to him. And so he's our little superstar, and so that he won the Fraternity that year, and I mean that horse is so special, and that was the beginning for him. You know, he ended up winning 100,000 that year, and then that was actually the first Fraternity he won, and then he went on to do really well after that. The Derby horse that won it was MR Repeat Pete, and he was my sister's baby, so that was really special for her. Those were our, you know, first real breakout success with Streak and owning our, you know, he was our first stallion. So, and they, you know, so I think that was probably the biggest. I don't know if much will top that.
Yeah. What do you still kind of hope to achieve in the sport, and what impact do you hope to have on it?
Well, I mean, I've got a lot of titles I'd like under my belt.
Yeah.
Just because I've had some, and I mean, I'd like to win, you know, the BFA, I'd love to win, be a world champion at the BFA. And I think I'd love to go. I'm sure everybody would love to go to the NFR. I never really thought about it until now. So I'm like, yeah, I mean, sign me up, I'll go.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just definitely would like to win, you know, those Ruby Buckle, Pink Buckle, Royal Crowns. I mean, yeah, it's definitely a goal of mine to win all of those at some point in my life. I've been right there, second, third, reserve. I've been there, all of them. So I think it's just a goal to actually come out number one at some point.
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of times when I ask this, you know, their hope is to win Fort Smith, but you've kind of got that in the bag. So.
Oh, yeah, that's the one I've got. I've got the Fort Smith. I'd love to win it again. You know, I think it would be cool, definitely, because it would only be cooler to keep saying, you know, I've won it twice, you know, or
yeah,
three times. Hell, I mean, keep coming. But I definitely, you know, when you say that you've won those, like, it's definitely in there. You know, I'd like to win it again. But I'd say, you know, I'd like the BFA. That's kind of a big one. I was reserve this year, so that was a good win in 2023. See, I'm not very good at, like, remembering things.
It's okay.
But yes, Fuego was the reserve champion last year to Seeger, so it wasn't really fair. I had to compete against Seeger. I hope that I can kind of help, you know, continue the industry and continue helping people and having something bigger than, you know, like, I mean, I really like French Streak to Vegas. Like, I love the brand that my sister and I have built for him. I wish he was still here, but I kind of have like I feel like I'm kind of continuing on his legacy. So I guess I'd kind of like to leave a big impact for him.
Yeah.
It's almost my obligation to kind of give it the fame he deserved, you know, that he won't really get from a lot of other people because of his passing. So I kind of just hope that I can continue to be successful on his babies. And then I really would like to just be a, you know, I mean, I want to stay humble and kind of be someone that can win. I want to be Cassie. I mean, I want to be able to dominate at every level. And and continue. I mean, I like to help, and I like to, I may eventually go that way too, but right now I just love doing it, and I like to keep opening doors and do different things.
That is all for this episode of Between the Barrels. Make sure you take a second to follow us on all social media platforms. Again, if you have any suggestions, feel free to email me at betweenthebarrels@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. Also, if you like what I'm doing here, please give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. Again, I'm your host, Madeline Green. Tune in next week.